New week, new podcast. We're so glad that you clicked the download button.
I'm your host, Robin Hearn. Our topic this week is the modern library. The idea came from our managing editor. He was telling me his story that he was in college in the early 90s. At that time on his campus, the library was really just books, magazines, newspapers, card catalogs, and a few computers. Jump forward to today, you can walk into Oklahoma State's Edmund Lowe Library and check out numerous things, including a GoPro.
I had the opportunity to sit down with Matt Upson, the Associate Dean for OSU Libraries, and Kathy S. Miller, OSU's Open Educational Resources Librarian, to discuss the mindset behind the modern library and some new initiatives that the library is working on. Spoiler alert, one of those is the open access to textbooks for free in certain classes. Let's go ahead and go straight to the library and get this thing started. Talk to me a little bit about the evolution of the library through the years. Like, how has it changed since, like, 1970 to, like, today? And how does that lead into today's modern university library?
Well, I think over the history of academic libraries, you've seen this trend of essentially more openness. So even going back before the 1970s, you had, I think, a tendency to close off collections from students, right? And Edmund Lowe Library is actually an excellent example of a library that was an early adopter of this open stacks design. And so allowing students to have access to those books, you know, put a hand on that book, take it off the shelf, that was something that was pretty novel. There weren't any roadblocks between the students and that knowledge. So that was an early innovation here at OSU. And then you think back, even in the back in the 90s, going to the library, and I'm of that age where I have crossed that, I was part of that crossing over from the more analog library focused on print collections and the card catalog, which, you know, many of our students have never seen, don't know what that is, crossing over from that into the digital age and having an online catalog, increasing the openness to access by not limiting people to going to a library and scanning through those physical cards in a drawer to find the collection. They can do a search online from their homes. They're not limited to just access to the physical items in the library, but to all the digital content that we have as well. We're all used to the assumption that information is easily accessible through our devices, computers, the assumption that it's free in some way. And that it's quick. And those aren't always true, especially in terms of academic information and research. But we're trying to edge in that direction. How are we making research that's performed and documented and written up here at a research university? How do we increase access to that? How do we lower the barriers to that, not just for our students, but for the population of the state, the population of the United States, the population of the world? How are we lowering those barriers?
The stacks are really just the shelves, the bookshelves that are in the library. And back in the day, people weren't allowed to just go up to the bookshelf and take a book off the shelf. Knowledge was seen as protected and for a select few, and you had to fill out a piece of paper, or even before then, just, you know, genuflect and ask permission, and only certain classes could access them. And then if you earned access, you were brought the book, which means you were brought the book that you requested, and that's the book that you had. And when you think about the things that happen as you're browsing the stacks, as you're walking down the bookshelves and running your fingers down the spines and the books that are around them, that you say, oh, I'd also like to read that, or so-and-so has talked about that, and just how that provides some opportunities for divergence and creating understanding. And so that's one of the things that's really remarkable. When you give people access to one book, that's fantastic. But when you give them access to the books that are around it too, and the serendipitous opportunity to construct understanding that comes with openness and different people getting different ideas and building on them, that's one of the really magical things. And Matt downplayed, really, I think, the role of Oklahoma State in helping kind of push forward the open stacks. Edmund Lowe Library, our library here on campus, was one of the first libraries to have their stacks open, have their books just open to undergraduate students. And so we've been open and trying to partner with the communities to build understanding here at Oklahoma State for decades and decades and decades.
It's amazing to see that OSU's always had, like, this type of openness
in the on the campus in the library. So what is the role of a modern university library?
Well, a modern university library, I think, partners with the community to build knowledge, to help people construct understanding, brings people together to build upon, again, like we were speaking earlier, ideas, and just gives people the opportunity to be even better.
Right, and as a land-grant university, you know, we have that mission of outreach, of working with the community. And so unlike maybe a private university library, it might be closed off, more restricted to students and community members that are part of that institution. We're more focused on being open for the state, our community members here in Stillwater. And so sharing that information with everyone, not just students, not just faculty, not just staff, everyone in this community and the larger state community. I think the mission of the library over the years, I think still remains pretty similar in that it is about building that knowledge. It's about building and sharing the knowledge. It's just, how are we doing that through the use of new technology, new spaces in the building? And so that's what kind of shifts our approach a little bit. So I always tell students who come in, the assumption when a new student or a prospective student walks in the building is that they'll see books everywhere. It's a library, right? Where are the books? And you don't actually see really many at all on our first two floors. And so I think that is in some ways a kind of shock to the system. And I'm still surprised that so many students ask where the books are. So that, number one, I think is a good sign and shows that students are interested in physical materials. And it's also intriguing for them to not see those books on the first two floors of Edmund Lowe and wonder where they are. And then that gives us a chance to talk about how the libraries are really, we're not just about books. Of course, we've got millions of volumes here in this building and our satellite, our branch libraries, but we're really about information. So how are we here to help students navigate information in whatever form or medium or avenue they're taking to access that? We're all about information. So that's how I kind of introduce new students to that, what the library is all about.
And I know both of you spoke about the study rooms and the spaces that you guys are offering now. As that need for different kinds of spaces shift, how has the OSU library adopted to meet that demand?
When I was an undergrad here 15 years ago, I think we just had two study rooms on the second floor. And now we're close to 20. And so being able to find space, real estate is in high demand on campus, and especially in a central location like Edmund Lowe. So being able to find good spaces and do some renovation and free up those study spaces to accommodate not even the new way that students are working, but I mean just being responsive to the way that students have been working for some time now. Whereas 20, 30 years ago, on into the past, it was much more of academic work was much more solitary in nature. Still pulling that book off the shelf, studying, writing your paper there alone. And now it's much more group-oriented, dynamic, loud.
So I went on the third floor and I saw those new bicycle desks that mm-hmm. you guys yes. have put in there. I thought that was awesome. And the beanbag chairs and the new, more comfortable seating in there. It honestly makes you feel, as a student, a little more comfortable. And since I like to move around a lot when I study, the bicycle desk is definitely something I will use.
And it's on wheels. So, you can wheel it. I mean, okay, so the bicycle's on wheels.
You can't ride it, but you can move it if you so choose.
You can push the bicycle desk over in front of those windows and do your bicycle desk and look out the windows.
And get a view.
Yeah, and the students are moving those couches that are in front of the windows now and rearranging them. And I just love that the students know it's their space.
I know that OSU, the library, has offered a lot of new technology to the students. How have y'all brought that to the students?
Sure. We've started some new spaces. I say new. We've had some of these spaces and services for a few years now. And so our students who are now graduating, I think, have known nothing other than, our spaces like our Edmund Lowe Creative Studios on the first floor.
Tech to go
program. So in our creative studios, for example, we've got some spaces dedicated to music, some design software. We've got virtual reality lab. We've got a flight simulator. an assortment of 3D printers. And so this space is really, it's been an experimental space built on student need and request. And it's also a space that is open to anyone of any major, right? And so what we do in the creative studios is try to open that up to students of all majors and encourage that cross-disciplinary collaboration. And so an education student and an engineering student coming together to work on a project in that space using those resources is really important to us.
And we've got, like the DSLR cameras, vlogging kits with the big ring lights and telescopes, giant telescopes down there.
So in the Tech2Go collection, all the stuff that you can check out and take out of the library.
GoPro cameras.
Yeah, GoPros.
For real, like you can check out a GoPro camera to go on your ski trip.
Mini projectors.
But also when we talk about how we've used the processes involved with technology to help enrich our students' lives, I think that's where like the open educational resources come in, because as we've identified some challenges for students on campus with like the cost of textbooks and the stranglehold that commercial publishers have on the textbook world. And we've been able as the library to step into that space and offer faculty and instructors the opportunity to adapt or author textbooks that then can be licensed and offered to the students for free. So we have several courses on campus, the technical writing course, physics, who else is using communications? We've got several courses on campus that are using these open educational resources so that we've saved students. I think we're coming up on $80,000 a semester with what we've been able to offer using digital technologies. That's one of the things we're really proud of and excited to have the support to be able to do.
You mentioned with the new initiative for the faculty, the free textbooks for their students.
Mm-hmm.
That is something I found very interesting. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, first we'll define open educational resources. They're resources that are intentionally created and licensed so that they can be disseminated at no cost to the end user. And they're typically born digital, so like they're created online, and it's much like what our students are already familiar with interacting with in a multimedia platform in the digital space. So that's kind of the goal, is to get interactive materials, get away from just a static PDF where you pick up your giant sociology notebook and you leaf through the pages and read. We had a generous donor a few years ago who funded the creation and publication of, I think, 6 textbooks that are in use on campus now. And not just on our campus, we have some that they're used across the nation. Our faculty do really great work. And our current initiative, the Hack the Syllabus Initiative, which is funded by the President's Fellows, and we have now, we've got 20 of the grants available, and we have about 25 applications so far, and the call for proposals doesn't close till September 30th. It's been very exciting to get to meet with faculty. I met with a nutrition faculty, and her proposal looks outstanding, and hers will save, they've been using a $200 textbook, and that's a pretty high enrollment class. And I mentioned on Twitter, and already, 4 or 5 different universities are saying, hey, when she gets it done, would you send it to us? We'd like to use it. And what's really great about what she's wanting to do is that she's building upon work that was done by a faculty member in Hawaii.
So another aspect of this attempt to try to save students a little bit of cost, or at the very least worry and concern, is this effort to buy textbooks for courses that have over 100 students enrolled in them, or the textbook itself costs over $100. And so the library will purchase a copy of that and hold it down in our creative studios there at the reserves desk. And students can come in and check that book out for a couple hours at a time.
We have the open educational resources, the skeletons and the telescopes down in the tech to go, the new spaces that you guys have offered for the students. What is next for the library?
I mean, I think it is continuing to pay attention to students and faculty here on campus and asking what our community wants and needs. I think we'll continue to see some new spaces develop based on those needs. So more collaborative spaces, more kind of learning and research commons spaces. So
and books, always books.
Right. We'll continue to develop that collection. What's next in the library? I think more collaborations. Right? We've talked about the open education collaborations. We're talking about special collections collaborations with faculty. So I think we're still in that process of of redefining what the library means to a research campus, and looking for opportunities to grow in whatever ways, whatever opportunities or avenues we find available based on, you know, those collaborations, the input we get from students and faculty. Because again, it's the space of the community. Let's learn how to grow that space together.
A special thank you to Matt and Kathy for giving us a better insight on how modern the OSU libraries are. I can't wait to see what the next thing is up their sleeves. Thank you for listening to the Inside OSU podcast. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. I'm Robin Hearn, and we'll see you next time.